Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, broadcasting this week from the Driver Certification Division here at Car Talk Plaza.
Well, I'm certified.
No, you're certifiable. that's different. Anyway, there was an interesting study done by GMAC Insurance recently, and it found that one in five drivers would not pass the written portion of the driver's test if they took it today.
Only one in five? That's great.
Yeah, pretty good. But what I realize is that it's really not the driver's fault.
It's not?
No. You know, the test is horribly out of date. Have you seen it lately?
No.
Well, it's like from like 1950 or something like that.
That's when I took it.
No, that was 1850. Anyway, I think it's time for an update. So here are some questions that I would put on the modern driver's test.
Are you ready? I'm
ready.
What do you got?
Well, number one here. While driving, where should your hands be placed on the steering wheel? 10 and 2? 9 and 3? Or C, close enough together so you can text? Next question. Zigzagging through orange safety cones is a good way to A, get a ticket for reckless driving, B, injure an innocent construction worker, or C, get really famous on YouTube. It is only permissible to drive the wrong way down a one-way street if, yeah. A, there's a clearly marked detour sign, B, you are directed to by a police officer, or C, you can't program your GPS and shave at the same time. If you are ever stranded by the side of the road at night, you should immediately do what? You ready for this?
Yeah.
A, turn on your hazard lights. B, turn your engine off so you don't inhale exhaust fumes. C, call 1-800-MATTRESS. So those are just a few ideas. And how do you do on the test, man?
I aced it, man.
Yeah, I kind of knew you would. Well, look, if you've got ideas for questions, post them at cartalk.com so we can all see them. In the meantime, you can test us with your car questions. Our number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Sarah calling from Knoxville.
Hi, Sarah.
Is that with an H?
No H. Thank you for asking.
I'm just crossing out the H
I'm
now.
I'm crossing out the H, too.
Thank you.
What's up, Sarah?
Well, I have one. I don't have a real car problem. I have one of those crazy affirmation settle a bet between a marriage problems.
Is this a potential end of marriage question? Or?
Just complicate the marriage.
I'm so good at these things. I've got more marriages than anybody. So lay it on me.
Well, I have the most wonderful Toyota Camry. It's a 2001. It's been the greatest car ever.
See, I was expecting you to say I have the most wonderful husband.
Well, I do.
I have the most wonderful Toyota Camry. Where does the husband rank on the list? I mean, is he like below your Electrolux vacuum cleaner?
He's way up there.
Wonderful Camry. I'm sorry to have interrupted.
Right, and a wonderful husband. But my wonderful Camry has only one problem.
Yeah?
The side mirrors are about 3 centimeters too wide. I have a theory about this. A couple of summers ago, I whacked off one mirror, then the other mirror, and then the first mirror again. Since then, I've noticed Toyotas, every time I see a side mirror that's duct taped or wired on, it's a Toyota. I love Toyotas. I don't want to get them in trouble, but are their side mirrors a little bit wider than other cars?
Jeez, I wouldn't know.
I wouldn't know because I've seen a lot of them, and they look fine to me.
Oh, go ahead and say they are. Take my
side. your significant other, that is your husband,
says I'm crazy.
Says you're crazy, and
you might be right.
And how are you lopping off these mirrors?
One was a neighbor's mailbox. One was at the bank. And the third one, I think, was a traffic barrel.
There was a third one.
Yes, and our car guy, Jeff, every time I go back now, he holds up a mirror and says, I've got your mirror for you, so I want to prove to him as well.
But these mirrors, was it just the last 3 centimeters that you hit? You hit them.
You hit them.
In other words, you would have needed mirrors that were about a quarter of an inch wide to have avoided this. Yeah. I mean, I can empathize. I remember some years ago, we got a lot of vehicles to test drive, and I was test driving a brand new Dodge Ram pickup that had these gigantic mirrors and I was trying to negotiate a little. Boston is an old city, and as such has some old narrow streets.
Yes.
And I was trying to negotiate. I believe the street was Milk Street. You can look it up.
I know where it is. Yeah, yes, I do.
And there was a UPS truck parked on one side.
Yeah.
And there, I don't know what was parked on this side, but I was trying to avoid the UPS truck, and I just eradicated the driver's side mirror.
Oh, you know.
And then when I realized that it happened, I of course tried to minimize the damage. I cut to the right. And I took the other mirror off, too.
Oh, no.
And it was great. So I can empathize, Sarah.
Well, thank you.
I suspect you're going to have to be a bit more careful. And I couldn't I could find any defect in the design of Toyotas insofar as how wide the car is with the mirrors that would make them more vulnerable. You need, I think, Sarah, is a skinnier car.
Exactly. Bumpers on the side of my mirror.
Yeah. So, no, if you had a... So the Camry might just be too wide for you.
Well, all right.
Yeah. So when you go to buy... When you look up a car online, it will give you all the specs. And one of them is the width, including the mirrors. So you need to go and look for a car that has the narrowest dimensions.
Sounds good.
Sounds good. All right.
Well, thank you.
So we can't be on your side, although we sympathize and empathize.
That is something. I appreciate that anyway.
See you later.
Let us know how you make out.
Yeah.
We'd love to laugh.
Let us know what kind of a motorcycle you're going to get.
Oh, no. Thanks a lot. I appreciate you taking my call.
We appreciate your calling. Bye-bye.
Bye.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Alex calling from Bozeman, Montana.
Hey, Alex, what's going on, man?
Well, I've got squeaky brakes.
Oh, that's okay.
Well, and the problem is I think I have a solution.
The cows know when you're coming home, right?
It's not so bad that dogs are cowering in the streets, but it's bad enough that I turn the radio up so I don't hear it.
Uh-huh. That's your solution?
Well, that's the interim solution. I was going to check in with you guys about something else. I feel like I heard once upon a time that if I drive quickly in reverse and then slam on the brakes, whatever it is that's causing the brakes to squeak will be... counteracted, I guess you'd say.
Is this a theory, or is this something you've discovered in the laboratory, as they say?
Well, I'm smart enough not to have tried it yet.
So what made you think, or what makes you think, that driving fast in reverse and slamming on the brakes is going to, quote, undo what is wrong, and in your mind, what is wrong?
Well, how come it sounds more silly when I hear you guys say it? I'm just thinking it true. It didn't seem like that.
Because we don't believe it.
Right. Yeah, because we've tried it, and it doesn't work. So what do you think is wrong that you're going to fix?
I don't know. Somewhere in my brain built this idea that I was applying the brakes too gently too often, or they were heating up, or something was going on such that now the brake pads make this squeak. And going in reverse would change the shape and form of the pads, and now it would be the cheap fix.
Yeah,
well,
you know, Alex,
anything.
This is often how great discoveries are made. But this isn't one of those times. The reason your brakes are making noise is because the brake pads, when you step on the pedal, the metal part of the pad is rubbing against the metal part of the caliper.
Right.
And to that end, we have a bunch of different compounds, and we've tried them all over the years, and we've settled on one called Disc Brake Quiet. It's kind of like a watery toothpaste that you put on the backside of the pads, and when this stuff hardens up, it prevents that motion, okay? Now, it's sometimes the case that that doesn't fix it, and new pads are required, or machining the rotors, or replacing the rotors, but more often than not, this Disc Brake Quiet works pretty darn well.
Okay.
And slamming on the brakes, driving in reverse, driving, doing figure eights, donuts, none of that stuff is worth it. We know because we've tried it all.
It sounds easier than doing, you know, taking apart all the brakes.
It doesn't. You might want to give it a shot. It can't hurt.
As long as I find an open space.
Yeah, don't crash into a tree when you're backing up.
Yeah. All right. Well, I will consider giving that a shot. I still...
Had you had a recent brake job done, or did this come on all of a sudden?
It's probably been there longer than I will allow myself to admit.
Months, years, a decade, what?
Months.
And it could be, you know, every vehicle has a little warning device called a wear sensor. Right. And it's supposed to make a high-pitched, annoying, squealing noise when the pads are getting too worn out.
That might be time.
Yeah, I suppose I could have that checked. All these logical answers are, you know.
They're killing you, I know it.
Until I call.
No, look at you might discover something here. Drive around fast and reverse and try not to hit anything and let us know how that works out for you.
If it happens to solve it, I will let you know.
Oh, you'll be up for a Nobel Prize, I'm sure. See you later, man.
Good luck.
Take care, thanks.
Bye.
Hey. Do you know what time it is?
Time to install the gelato maker in your Miata?
No, not yet. It's time to play Stump the Chumps. This is the part of the show where we dig up a caller from a previous show to see if our advice was any good.
And find out if the body cast is off yet. So who's our contestant this week, Tommy?
It's Jackson, the chicken coop guy from Vermont.
Oh, that knucklehead. Yeah, he had, if I recall, a 9x9x9 foot luxury chicken coop. And he bought a snowmobile trailer.
Oh, yeah.
And he wanted our blessing to put this thing on this little trailer and drag it like 100 miles through the mountains at highway speeds.
That's the guy.
What are my chances of catastrophic failure? That's what I really want to
about
know.
About 90%+.
90%?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, no.
Well, here's the only way you could do it.
Yeah.
If you did it late at night or earlier in the morning.
Midnight
run. And you drove so slowly that you would just... But if you're trying to keep up with the flow of traffic.
Well, that's...
And you got this house behind your pickup
yeah.
truck. And don't forget, you're unfamiliar with this whole process.
Right.
You got wind resistance. You got security issues. You're going to make one turn and you're going to say, hey, you'll be looking in the rearview mirror and say, what happened to the chicken coop?
I've got my father following me in a pickup with flashers.
Oh, so you're going to kill
plan.
Him too. You know, this is what our late friend Vito would have described as a bad idea.
Yeah, and that's what we told Jackson.
But, you know, he was determined. We told him to hire some professional haulers who could, you know, put this thing on a flatbed truck, tie it down correctly.
But he said, no, that costs money.
So we knew he was going to ignore our advice and do it anyway. You tried, didn't you, Jackson?
I did.
All right, before we find out whether you made it, Jackson, you have not spoken to us since your last appearance on Car Talk. Is that true?
That's correct.
And the answer you're about to give has not been influenced by our staff, the staff of NPR, or by the million-dollar life insurance policy that we took out of you.
Not in the least.
So tell us what happened.
So, ignoring your advice, your sage wisdom, I gathered my band of merry chicken coop raisers, and we headed over there with a snowmobile trailer.
Yeah.
We got it jacked up 26 inches, had to dig the ground out a little bit to get the trailer underneath, got it underneath, set the thing down, and the trailer compressed about 20 inches. Crushed right down on the springs.
So the trailer was a little under capacity, you might have to say, huh?
You might say.
It may have been overweighted, yes.
Yeah.
So we got it. We got ratchet straps on it, got it ratcheted down, got my truck hooked up to it, and we actually got it out of the backyard. I mean, it was
so how many days did that take?
It took about 12 hours.
12?
And once we got it out onto the pavement on the street, we noticed the axle was bent, and the wheels were pigeon-toed in at about a 45-degree angle.
Yeah, because you were croaking. I think the technical word is you were croaking the thing.
That sounds about right. We ended up hauling it a mile and a half down through Main Street, Virgins.
Yeah.
Hauled it to the park and ride right at the edge of town and parked it.
Good. Good thinking.
It can't go any further. And as luck would have it, we were actually right across the street from a garage with a flatbed. So I talked to my buddy Harold there, and he is actually, as we speak, en route with the chicken coop on his flatbed.
Yay!
Oh. So you guys were right.
Oh, boy. Well, that is great.
Yeah, so Harold is as we speak, delivering it to the site. Is he going to actually place it exactly where it belongs?
I don't think he can get his flatbed to where we want it. So he's going to put it down on blocks, and then I have a tractor. I'm going to try to put some skids under it and haul it to where it needs to go.
So why is it that we were unable to convince you that it was a moronic idea.
I think it was the 8 months that I'd spent up at night trying to figure out how to move this thing.
Oh,
I invested so much mental power into it.
Yeah,
I couldn't
much,
walk away.
Yeah, intellectual energy invested in it.
It was a great experience.
Well, it was. And the great thing about it was nobody got hurt.
Nobody got hurt.
By the way, what's Harold charging you to deliver it to the property?
He estimated a couple hundred bucks.
A couple of hundred bucks. Isn't that what we suggested? That for a couple hundred bucks, you may be able to get someone. That's all right. That's all right. That's what you get for not taking our advice. But look, you have a story to tell everyone.
Absolutely.
You'll have a grandchild on your knee someday, so you can recount this whole story.
Absolutely.
And he'll look at you and say, Grippy, you are nuts.
Yeah.
Anyway, thanks for playing Stump the Chumps, man.
Bye-bye.
That was a lot of fun.
Great advice, guys. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
If you should hear someone you'd like us to bring back for Stump the Chumps, email us your suggestion from cartalk.com.
All right, Tommy. Did you take your Ginkgo Rocky Balboa this morning?
No, I forgot.
So I guess you don't remember the puzzler.
Who are you anyway? You look so familiar.
And this is my question. Well, here's a hint. It involved long freight trains and Rochester, New York.
New York, is that near Kentucky?
Yeah. We'll be back in a minute.
You got Sally and you got Sue. I got a Chevrolet. She takes me home after work. Don't ever miss a day. She don't care what I am, she don't care what I ain't, but she ain't no cheap pickup haul, she just needs a couple coats of paint. I love my truck, it's right outside, I ain't got much luck, but I sure got a ride. Don't matter who lived, it don't matter who lied, I've got my truck right by my side.
And even though newborn babies discover their fingers and then stick them in their ears whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR. Hey, if you'd like to hear more Car Talk.
Yeah, like you're a parent and need a scared straight punishment for your kids.
You can download hundreds of classic Car Talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says, listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzler. And this one came from someone named Tim Sullivan. And I don't know if the facts are right, but the flavor was just so good, I had to use it.
I'm beginning to remember it. It was good.
Tim writes, years ago, when the railroads used steam locomotives, and that isn't even relevant, Baltimore and Ohio Railroad had a busy freight line running south from Rochester, New York. And they used a locomotive of the 282 type, also irrelevant. Meaning there are two wheels in the front, which don't do anything. Eight wheels behind those, which are the drivers. Those are the ones that are connected to the steam engine. And then two trailing wheels. And a 282 could handle a train of 80 cars.
Mm-hmm.
But on this particular run, it couldn't handle a train of 60 cars. It had to have 80.
Doesn't make sense.
Doesn't make sense. And the hint is there's something unusual between Rochester and wherever the train is headed. And what's unusual?
Bandits. No.
Bandits.
Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid.
Bandits would be good.
Bandits would be good, but that's not
now,
the answer.
No, this route consists of a bunch of hills, which are pretty closely spaced.
Uh-huh.
And imagine the following scenario.
Okay.
The train with 60 cars is trying to climb one of these hills. As it nears the top, it is pulling all 60 cars up the hill. Okay?
Yeah.
And the engineer says, the drivers are beginning to slip. I ain't going to make it. If only I had some help. And the help would come from an additional 20 cars attached to the back of the train.
Still on the downward
slope of the previous hill and helping, by the force of gravity, to push the train up over the next hill.
Sonia.
What do you think of that?
Love it. This is great.
We have a winner.
Man. All right, we do have a winner. The winner is Ray Johnson from Titusville, Florida. Ray Johnson from Titusville, Florida have won the Puzzler Prize.
You may say, what did I win? What did I win? Well, don't get your shorts in a bunch, Ray, because all you won is a $26 gift certificate to the Car Talk Shameless Commerce Division on our website.
Hey, you can get our new T-shirt, Car Talk T-shirt, emblazoned with our motto, Non Impediti Ratione Cogitationis.
I had one on yesterday.
Yes.
I loved it.
Yes, yeah. which means, of course, unencumbered by the thought process. We'll have a new non-automotive puzzler coming up in the third half of today's show. In the meantime, you can call us and ask us questions about your car, even. And the number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Amanda calling from Island Lake, Illinois.
Amanda. From Island Lake. Is it an island or a lake? Which is it?
We still haven't figured that out. It has a lake with an island in the middle.
But that's not where you live.
No, I don't live on the island.
I didn't think so. Okay, what's going on?
Well, I have a little bit of marital discord for you.
I'm going out for coffee. I'll let you and Tommy discuss this.
And actually, yesterday was my 2-year wedding anniversary. So this is perfect timing to talk to you guys. My husband, Jonathan, and I share a 2004 Volkswagen Golf. My husband is a mathematician / physicist. And that's code for cheap.
Really?
He's always trying to find a way to drive the car more efficiently and save money. So his new way of saving us money is to use the air conditioner as a braking system.
Really?
So whenever he wants to slow the car down, he turns on the air conditioning. And when he wants to accelerate again, he just turns the air conditioning off. So, you know, this takes energy from the engine to cool the air, which ends up slowing the car down.
This assumes that you're operating the car under conditions where you would normally be using the air conditioner.
Yes. When it isn't hot, he doesn't do this. But when it's warm enough that he can get away with it, he does it.
Ah.
But this also means that he doesn't leave the air conditioning on for me ever. Because he has to turn it off again when he wants to accelerate. So I get about 15 to 30 second bursts of air conditioning when he wants to slow the car down. And then the rest of the time, I'm just melting in the passenger seat.
My
two questions for you. First of all, is he going to break my car?
No, but you may break his head if he doesn't stop.
Yes, that's going to happen very soon.
By the way, how much does it slow the car down? Because I'm guessing it's not going to slow it down at all. In fact, all modern cars
it's not going to slow it down at all.
Back in the old days, when you turn the air conditioner on, it did slow the engine down because the air conditioner imposed a load on the engine.
Right.
But for a long time now, like 30 years.
this hasn't been the case.
It hasn't been the case, exactly. Engines have the ability to speed up the idle. In the old days, they did it very crudely with a solenoid. Now it's done through the electronic throttle, which this thing has. Okay, and a signal, as soon as you turn the AC on, a signal is sent to the computer that says, hey, they turned the AC on, and in order to maintain the engine idle speed at 650... we're going to actually increase the engine idle speed a little bit, okay, so that the load of the air conditioner compressor doesn't slow the car down and make the headlights get dim or make the engine run rough or give it a tendency to stall. So I'm guessing he's not saving anything at all.
He's actually doing the opposite of what he wants to be doing.
Bing! But the downside of that is he's not going to want to run the air conditioner now at all.
This is true. However, he might just have to because, I mean, it gets hot. And I just look forward to moments where I know he's going to have to slow down so I can stick my face in front of the vent and get as much air conditioning in the 10 seconds I have as possible.
Oh, so 2 years
of no way to live.
2 years you've been married? Can only get worse. you got to stop this guy dead in his tracks. We may need to talk to him.
Yeah.
Is he home?
he's sitting right next to me.
Put Jonathan on the phone for us.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hold on just a second. Here he is.
Hello?
Hi, Jonathan.
Hi, Jonathan.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you guys?
we're doing great. You're making your poor wife suffer unnecessarily, we think.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Modern cars boost the idle speed up when you turn the AC on.
Even when you go to, like, 60, let's say, and you slow down to 40?
Well, yeah, because concurrent with turning the AC on, you're also taking your foot off the gas.
Right.
So at some point, yeah, the idle is when you're trying to get the engine to slow down the car, the engine idle speed is higher. So I think I think what you're doing is counterproductive.
Oh no.
I mean, doesn't it sound so good in theory?
It does.
Yeah, it does. And you would have been right about 42 years ago.
Oh, well, a bit too late. Yeah. Or the wrong generation, I guess.
Yeah. You were just a generation and a half too late. but the important thing is you're making your wife suffer unnecessarily.
Yeah.
And you know what? I've discovered if you make your wife suffer, somehow or another, she's going to find a way to make you suffer.
You don't need that.
You may not be immediately apparent that that's what's going to happen, but that's what's going to happen.
Thanks for your advice,
guys. All right.
Should I put Amanda back on?
All right, sure.
Yeah. Hello.
Amanda, I think we may have convinced him, but I don't know.
Call us next week and let us know.
Yeah, you'll have to be vigilant in this regard. So let us know what other harebrained ideas he comes up with.
Okay, I will be sure to do that. Thank you so much for your help.
All right, see
you later. We'll have a third anniversary, so.
We hope. Bye-bye.
Bye.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Brett in Memphis.
Brett?
Yes.
What's going on, man?
Well, based on your last call, I'm not sure if I want to know the answer to my question, but it's another marital dispute that I thought you might help me with. But if I'm right, I'm not sure I want to be. So.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll whisper it to you.
There you go. Yeah, I have a 2000 Saturn wagon that I only live about 8 miles from work, so don't drive very often, and so when I put gas in it, I don't want to spend $60 at a time. It just hurts. So I put $20 in and get it to almost a half a tank these days. And so whenever she gets in, there's not a lot of gas in usually. And she says, well, there's not any gas. I've got to stop and get gas. And so she told me that she and her dad were talking and that he said that it was not good for the car to not fill it up when you do that. And then subsequently, we've had more conversation, and she said, well, it's not good to run it low all the time. So there's some gray area there, but that was the question, is it good for a car or bad for a car to not fill it up when you put the gas in it or to run it low?
Well, you know,
No, and no.
Right. that about sums it up. It's been a pleasure talking to you, Brett.
Now, what else can we help you with?
So that means I'm right? Is that correct?
Well, there's no inherent danger in running it with very little gas in there. Of course, you could run out of gas.
That has happened.
There's some question that fuel pumps tend to run cooler when they're immersed in 15 gallons of gasoline as opposed to 1.5 gallons of gasoline.
Uh-huh.
But on the other side of the coin, there's no distinct benefit from filling the tank up.
Uh-huh.
You know, they used to be in the old days because you'd crowd out moisture with, you know, in the winter they'd say always make sure you have a full tank because you wouldn't get condensation, et cetera, et cetera. That doesn't happen anymore because the tanks are all sealed up. There's no air getting in except through the evaporative emission system.
Uh-huh.
You know, and so I wouldn't worry about that.
Okay. Well, that's great. Well, I guess I am right, but I'm not sure I want to go home and face that, but, you know.
Yeah. I mean the only argument you could make, and it's really weak, is that when the tank is close to empty, the car weighs less.
Ah. Uh-huh.
And you're getting a little better mileage.
So I'm even okay.
Minuscule.
It's minuscule. Oh
it's
yeah, no.
So
yeah, it may be so minuscule that it's immeasurable.
Yeah, but
I think I'll use that
if you have to use it.
If you have to, right?
Because it is true.
If you feel cornered, right?
Yeah, there you go.
All right, good luck, man.
All right, thanks a lot.
See you later.
Bye.
Bye. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. This is Allison calling from Southern Oregon.
Allison, is that with two L's, one S, two N's? How does that?
I knew you'd ask. Two L's, one S, one O, one N. Traditional spelling.
The traditional spelling.
Oh, listen.
Yes, Allison. I have a daughter-in-law named Allison, but she has Y's and stuff in there. I don't know. Anyway, what's
well, thanks for calling.
Where are you from?
I'm from Southern Oregon, from the Medford-Ashland area.
Oh, yes. What's up, Allison?
Well, I have a 2003 Audi all-road wagon. It has about 140,000 miles on it, and I bought it about 4 months ago. And last month on a road trip, it started making this clanking noise anytime that we would drive over a rut in the road or over a storm drain.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of sounds like, you know how when you go over a steel bridge, you kind of get that clank, 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 clank when you go over the groove?
Well, no, I don't actually, but, I know that, of course.
Well. It kind of sounds like that, or like some chains hitting each other really abruptly and hard just for a second.
And where does it feel like it's coming from?
It feels to me like it's coming from the suspension system.
In the front.
No, but in the front, underneath you, next to you, behind you.
The car next to you.
It feels like it's coming from both the front and the rear tires.
Okay.
Oh.
So
yeah.
You've had this car a few months.
Mm-hmm.
And when you bought this, I trust you had it checked out?
We did, and we bought it from a friend who actually has a mechanic on site at his dealership. And
I thought you meant a live-in mechanic. Actually, no, that could be a wonderful service, an on-site mechanic, a live-in.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Sure.
Yeah,
so you could have a community. Imagine this. Imagine new communities where people who have the same kind of car, you know, live in a community that where their houses are all close by. And the mechanic, the on-site mechanic, just lives with one of them for a month and the next one for a month. And just you kind of rotate.
Wouldn't
right?
that be lovely?
Isn't that a great idea?
Crazy.
Well, I like it. So it must be crazy. Well, anyway, so you were enamored of this car, and of course you bought it, and you're happy with it, except for the noise. And mm-hmm. And I trust you've had somebody look at it or not.
We did. We took it to a mechanic who lives where we live, and he did find a number of things to fix. He replaced the control arms, the bushings, the right front tie rod.
Uh-huh.
They drove it afterwards and didn't hear the noise,
oh.
But we got in the car and we heard it.
Oh, yeah. He never heard the noise?
He didn't hear the noise. I'm suspecting he didn't roll down the windows and listen.
So this noise isn't a heavy-duty noise. It's more like a clink, clink, clink. That kind of, is it about that volume?
It's a high-pitched, you know, when you're in the car and you have the windows up, it's definitely a little harder to hear, but you roll down those windows and it's high-pitched. I sound like I have six tambourines under my car slamming into each other when I ride down the road.
Well, I mean, it could be something as simple as the exhaust hitting the underside of the car, and I would imagine if you went back to him and drove the car with him.
With the windows open.
And said, that's the noise. He might say, oh, it sounds like maybe you have a bad exhaust hanger.
Uh-huh.
You know, the car is 8 years old. I mean, it's bound to have something falling off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that seems the most likely thing. The second most likely thing is probably a bad sway bar link. This car is a sway bar in the front and rear.
Mm-hmm.
And the links would make that kind of a noise.
Mm-hmm.
It would be the kind of noise that you would get only on bumpy roads.
Mm-hmm.
And you can experiment. You know, you can go over a bump with maybe just the left front wheel or the left two wheels.
That may be why he never heard it. He didn't drive it very far.
Yeah, he drove it off the lift. It sounds good to me.
Sounds good to
so
me.
So I would go back and ask him to go for a ride with you.
Mm-hmm.
And make sure that you, in fact, find a road where you can reproduce the noise.
That's easy. My street is covered in potholes. And yeah,
perfect.
That won't be
then take him there and put it through its paces.
Okay.
Good luck, Allison. I trust
you.
It's going to be something minor. By the way, he shouldn't. You said he replaced a control arm, which in this car has the ball joint built into it. This car has a lot of ball joints, and he could easily have overlooked, you know, two or three or four of them. So, and a bad ball joint can make the same kind of noise. Although I'm leaning toward it being a sway bar link.
That is really, okay, that's really good to know.
Oh, I'm sure it's the wrong answer, but it sounds great.
But let us know what happens.
I will.
Unless we're wrong.
Unless we're wrong. We don't want to know that.
Okay.
See you later.
Bye,
guys. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, look, before we get to this week's puzzler, we have to take a short break.
This is so our stations can regale their listeners with important information.
No, no, no. This is so listeners can take a minute off from us and stifle their gag reflex. But when we come back, I'll have the new puzzler, which is from my Black and White Hats series.
Mm.
We've had plenty of those over the years.
Yeah.
And we'll be right back with that and more of your car questions in just a minute. So please stay tuned.
You roll in here looking so clean. I'm a garbage pail. Smell like sweat and gasoline. There's dirt and grease under my nails. Tell you what, I'll take a shower when I get your car all fixed. My shoes will shine and I'll smell like soap, and we'll go get fish and chips. I'll change your points to make a point, your spark plugs I will gap. And if your car won't start in the rain, new distributor cap. Will you love me if I fix your car? Will you drive away? Will you love me if I fix your car? I'll fix it anyway.
And even though Malyazis everywhere decide it's time to prune the family tree whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the new Puzzler.
I'm ready. Go ahead.
And this is, by the way, the last Puzzler of the Puzzler season.
Oh, so it's going to be a great one, huh?
No, I said it was the last one. I never said anything about great, good, or anything else, but here goes.
Yeah,
you ready?
All right, go ahead.
Pay attention now.
I'm going to pay attention.
At a certain jungle prison, there are 30 prisoners who have been sentenced to be executed. Yikes. The warden, of course, has the power to pardon, and he decides to play a little game. Of course he does, right?
Yeah, what else has he got to do?
He announces to the prisoners that he will stand all of them in a straight line with prisoner number one, okay, facing the wall, and the remaining prisoners lined up behind him, with each one able to see the heads of those prisoners in front of him, but not his own head, of course, or those heads behind him, right? Yeah. Kind of like standing in line at the men's room for the old ballpark, right?
Yeah.
Next, he will place either a white or a black hat on each prisoner's head, starting at the back of the line.
Yeah, yeah.
And a guard will then ask each prisoner, starting at the back of the line, we'll call this prisoner number 30, to identify the color of his own hat. Remember, prisoner number 30, the one at the back of the line,
yeah,
can see all the other hats and prisoners in front of him. Number 29 can see the 28 hats in front of him, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
And prisoner number one can see what?
Nothing.
Bubkiss, exactly right. And of course, each prisoner can hear each of his fellow prisoners attempt to identify the correct color of his hat.
Ah.
Okay?
Okay.
When asked the color of his hat, a prisoner can say only one of two words, black or white.
Huh.
That's it.
Yeah.
Now, he explains this to the prisoners, and immediately they come back and say, oh, come on, man. Give us a fighting chance. I mean, we've only got a 50-50 chance of making it here. Give us something that we can do to help improve the odds. And he says, all right, look, I hate to execute complainers, so I'll give all of you 1 hour to talk among yourselves and come up with a strategy. After that, silence. And remember, no funny business. Each one of you is allowed, when asked, to utter one word and one word only, either black or white. If I suspect anything is amiss, you all die.
I could see that coming.
So the question is there a strategy that they can use that will improve their chances? And if so, what is it?
What is it?
Notice, by the way, that I did not say how many black or how many white hats there were. It doesn't matter.
Wow.
Now, if you think you know the answer, write it on the bed of a Gemini Revolution XT Artisan tile saw. With high torque motor, double-sided diamond-coated 10-inch glass blade, inside and outside radius cut capability, very important, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
Removable self-contained water bath tile lubrication system, and the ability to cut tile and stone up to 2 inches thick and send it along with a solid 4x8 slab of Turkish travertine and a few extra prosthetic fingers, too. To Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 022. 38.
Or you can email us your answer from cartalk.com.
Now, if you have a question for us, give us a call. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Danielle calling from Shaker Heights, Ohio.
Hi, Danielle. How are you?
Hi, I'm doing great today.
Go. We'll see if we can put an end to that.
What's up?
Well, my husband and I own a 2000 Oldsmobile Silhouette minivan.
The Cadillac of minivans.
Oh. That is right. No,
for about a year. So we are having all types of really fun surprises.
Ah.
And one thing that's really interesting that we have not been able to figure out is that the windshield wipers will not park down unless it is pouring down rain or a lot of water pouring down the windshield.
Otherwise, what does it do? It stops up?
They park right in the middle of the window.
Ah.
Oh, so you have to decide if you're going to go north or south when you go over, look over the wiper or under it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so my lovely, incredible servant husband, he was consistently washing my minivan. And I said, oh, wow, what? He's so loving. It's clean, like every week. Well, I started to realize it was clean after it would rain.
Uh-huh.
And I realized that he was taking the van to the car wash to get the wipers to park down. Because that's the only time you can do it when it's not raining. And he wouldn't be patient enough to wait until that next thunderstorm. But we listen to you guys all the time. It completely baffles us as to why they won't park.
Well, this vehicle has a kind of a peculiar wiper setup. I think Oldsmobiles and the Pontiac Transport and a few other GM vehicles use this thing where the controller for the intermittent wipers is attached to the wiper motor.
Okay.
And I don't know what's in there, except there's a lot of printed circuit stuff. And you can buy one of these things, and you can install it. I don't know if you want to install it yourselves. It requires pulling the wiper motor out. You think he's up for that?
Pulling the wiper motor out. Now, what is this thing called that we would be able to buy?
This is called the wiper motor control.
Wiper motor controller. Okay, no, my husband is not a car guy, so I would not suggest that he would pull anything out.
Yeah,
we have awesome mechanics, so I could ask them to do it, but is that expensive? Is it worth it?
It's absolutely worth it because you're going to get, it's a pain to drive with the wiper stuck in the middle of the window. I'm surprised if you had taken it to them that they didn't suggest you change this thing.
Yeah, they didn't. I think they just thought, hey, this is a 10-year-old car, big deal.
11.
Wait till it rains next.
yeah, well, that's true. You could wait until something catastrophic happens, and then this will seem so minor by comparison. But I would, in fact, take it and ask them to change this thing. I think that's there's a fair chance that that's what it is.
Wiper motor controller.
Yeah, I mean, you may decide. For not much more money, you can buy a brand new wiper motor, which has this controller thing on it.
Oh.
Ah. So you can buy the whole shebang and just install that. They may opt for that route.
Oh.
So they can do one of those two things. But both of those are going to fix it. Either one of them is going to fix it.
Okay.
Either doing the controller itself or doing the whole shebang.
Okay. And then I might just have to drive around with a dirty car then.
No, you're not going to drive around with a dirty car, Danielle. You're going to get the car fixed. You're going to have a new pride in ownership now. It's going to feel wonderful driving
Absolutely.
A car where the wipers aren't stopped in the middle of the windshield, and you're going to feel like keeping it clean. Your husband's still going to take it to the car wash. He's gotten used to that. So get it fixed, and it'll be fine.
Okay, thank you so much, guys.
Take care, Danielle.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
It occurred to me that also has some kind of a peculiar wiper pivot that could be. Never mind.
No. Let's not get it any more confusing than it is.
888, that's right. 888 Car Talk. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, this is Mac from Tallahassee.
Hey, Mac, what's going on, man?
I have a vehicle psychology question for you.
Is it the vehicle that needs the psychoanalysis or the owner?
I think one of the owners, yes.
One of the, okay.
It's not you.
It's not me.
Oh, let's hear the story, man.
Okay. It's my wife.
Okay.
We have a 1999 Mercury Sable, mm-hmm. which we acquired from my wife's grandmother, and a 2000 Toyota Tundra because I wanted a truck.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She was driving the car to work. They were having lunch one day, and she offered to all the guys, we can go in my car.
Oh, so they were. She was taking everyone to lunch in her Sable.
In her Sable.
Okay.
And one of her coworkers, Don, said, "Oh, you mean the Medicare sled?"
The Medicare. Really? Oh, that's not nice.
It wasn't very nice. And after that day, she drove it home. She parked it and she's driven my truck to work ever since.
Oh,
isn't
boy.
That interesting?
No, so my question is, how do I get my truck back?
Yeah,
now,
that's
a car. I've explained to her, a car gets better gas mileage, baby. You know, it only has 69,000 miles on it.
But it's got this stigma now. It's a geezer car. Worse than a geezer car, it's a Medicare car.
But it's dependable. It's got low mileage. It's easier to park and maneuver. It's a great car.
Yeah. So just give us a rough idea. What decade is your wife?
She's in her 40s.
Well, she shouldn't be daunted by this. I mean, she should have been able to laugh this off.
Well, she told me after she started driving my truck, you know, men look at me differently now when I drive a truck.
Oh, so it's all about how she perceives herself in this car.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So how about you get you sell this thing. It's got low mileage on it. It's obviously been well taken care of. It's a reliable car. Gets good mileage. And how about if you sold this thing and bought her something, hey, like a 2000 Tundra?
Yeah, what a deal.
Or let her keep you sell the Sable, let her keep the Tundra, and you buy a replacement car for yourself.
We've thought about that, but then we get a car payment.
No, you might not, because I don't know what the Sable is worth. If it's in really nice shape, you might be able to just swap pretty much even.
Yeah.
What if you sold a Sable for, I don't know what the Sable's worth, $4,000, $5,000?
I think you're dreaming.
No, I think it's worth $4,000. And if it's in really great shape, it might be worth even more.
Okay.
Okay, so let's say $4,000. And what if you then took that money and bought a car for her, like a Mitsubishi Eclipse?
That's a thought.
That's a swinger's car, man.
Yeah, absolutely. That is a good thought.
So here's what you do. Let's assume that you can get 4 G's for the car. You go out with her one day and you say, look, let's go to Sam's Used Cars. And you can have any car in the lot, as long as it's 4 G's or less. Knock yourself out. But the condition is, you get the car and I get my truck back. and then it's a win-win, I think.
That might just work.
But I think if you're trying to convince her that she should hand you back the keys to the Tundra.
Forget it,
yeah.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen. I mean, she's a grandmother in this car. Was it her grandmother?
It was her grandmother.
She looks in that, you know, that little flip, you know, when you flip the visor down and you look in that mirror?
Yeah.
When she looks in that mirror, she doesn't see herself. She sees her grandmother.
Mirror on the car. I am my grandmother after all.
Yeah, so that's what's happening. She flips that thing down. She says, oh, my God, what am I doing driving this car? It's making me old before my time. I'm on her side.
Okay.
Let us know how you make out.
Yeah, let us
I'll
know if she
that.
Likes the Eclipse.
Yeah.
And let us know when she runs away with the milkman.
Yeah, that's going to happen,
too. All right, too. I'll do that.
See you later, man.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
888, he's laughing, man. I don't know. 888, yeah, sure. Car Talk.
Yeah. Now you're laughing.
888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Madeline from Ashland, Virginia.
Hi, Madeline. Hi. What's up?
I have a 95 Honda Civic, and when I step on the brakes, other stuff turns off.
Cool.
You step on the brake, and what other stuff?
Well, when it first started happening, it was just the radio.
So you step on the brake, and the radio stops working.
Right. Well, no, it turns off, and then it comes back on.
Great.
Ah.
All right.
And then, like, the air conditioning lights and everything on that side of the dash would go off, too.
Okay.
And then all of the dashboard lights behind the steering wheel would go off.
Uh-huh. Love it.
Yeah. If it's at night,
headlights?
The headlights won't go off, but they'll kind of, like, dim.
Mm.
So, like, I've assumed that it's electrical. And my husband thinks that it's electrical. And then he said that my odometer isn't electrical.
Your odometer is probably not electrical on this car. And that's why it keeps working. The speedometer and odometer keep working.
But? The speedometer jiggles back and forth really fast for a few seconds, and then it stops.
Yeah. All of these things are pointing to, you ready for this? An electrical problem.
I think she knew that. She may have already figured that out.
Yeah, I think you probably did, Madeline. Yeah. And you have a bad connection. The first thing that comes to mind is a bad ground connection under the hood.
Uh-huh.
You know, because everything that gets electricity in the passenger compartment, like your radio, your dashboard display, and whatnot, all of that stuff has to find its way back out from the passenger compartment, back under the hood, and eventually back to the battery. And it does that with these connecting wires called ground wires.
Mm-hmm.
And one ground wire is attached to the valve cover and to the body. And it could be that that ground wire is
loose
or somebody left it off.
Well, it was made in Canada, so.
No, don't blame them. Have you had any work done to the car? Because we leave these ground wires off all the time when we do work on cars because they're easy to miss, you know. And that would explain why when you step on the brake, you're breaking the connection or you're altering it somehow.
Okay.
You know, so what we've done in these instances where we have difficulty reproducing this stuff is we usually strap my brother to the hood. You know, in this case,
well,
I'll
be in Boston next week.
Oh, great.
Perfect. You'll be at the cafe.
I'll be available.
You'll be at the Cafe Paradiso on Hanover Street. But you could, you could just have somebody open the hood, and with the engine running and all that stuff working, start yanking on wires and jiggling them.
Oh, that's what my husband does anyway.
Oh, good.
If you sit in the car and have him yank on wires and whatnot under the hood, you're going to say, oh, that's it. That did it.
Okay.
The other possibility is it's something under the dash.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe you're disturbing something under the dash, but of course a lot of that stuff terminates under the dashboard. So you could get under there and start jiggling wires, you might find a bad connection right near the brake pedal perhaps.
Okay.
All right.
Well, thank you.
Good luck. Start jiggling.
Good luck.
Okay.
Let us know what you find out, Madeline. Thanks.
Okay, thanks.
Bye-bye. Well, it's happened again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Cavs of Belleville Green, Carly High Voltage Nix, and Catherine Frau Blucher, Venalosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our interns are Ariel Niedermeyer and Eleanor Marks. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Filbertoni, Riceroni, Fried Bologna, Rigatoni, Abalone, Pepperoni, Fish That's Bony, Not Too Tony, Lunch and Bony is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Heywood Jabuzoff. Our cruise director is Eaton Doolittle. Our TSA screener is Pat Matukas. Our director of disaster preparedness is Evan Stubetzi. Our short order cook is Diego Verizzi. Our staff dietitian is Diana Unger. Our Greek driving instructor is Adjustis Miros. Tommy's personal psychiatrist is Manny Luz Cruz. Our optometric firm is CFI Care. Guest accommodations are provided by the Horseshoe Road Inn. The head of our Working Mother Support Group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Eulewis Dewey, known to the lost tour bus operators in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. Don't drive like my brother.
Don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1127, download classic Car Talk episodes, or check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, what's the story with ethanol subsidies?
Yeah, and how can we get some? Are they just boondoggles for huge agribusiness companies that end up raising the price of our corn dogs? Or can they create a new renewable energy source?
How about both?
Could be. Columnists Jim Montevalli and Jamie Kittman take two different looks at ethanol subsidies. You can read them both now over at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though potatoes ask if they can please be unpicked whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.